You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If an auto or motorcycle accident caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. That's 1-800-ELK-OHIO, E-L-K-O-H-I-O. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And the question we pose to you and want to hear from you on is, which player on the Browns offense do you want to see increase production from? Do you want to see step up here starting week five against the Tennessee Titans? So, Matt, I will start with you. Who do you want to see from the Browns get things going starting this week on offense, for an offense that, by the way, has exceeded all of our expectations and been darn good early in the season?
I kind of have a hunch of who you're going to go with, so I'm going to try and pick someone else. And I'm going to go with Ben Tate. The reason why is because we've heard all week from Wilbert Montgomery that he will reassume that starting role. You know, what workload they will give him, that is yet to be determined. But I think the fact that he gets back into the flow, he is the starter. He's the guy that we brought here on a free agent deal. And I think that he will then in turn determine with his success what role Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West have as well, what type of carries they're going to have, what situations those young running backs are going to be put in based on how quickly he can reassume his 100% health activity in this football game. So Ben Tate for me.
And I think that that's a good point, because when you look at one thing that's kind of been missing from this offense, and that to me has been kind of the checkdowns to running backs out of the backfield. You have not seen a lot of involvement in the passing game thus far from the Browns running backs. Through the first three games, they have five catches between them. Ben Tate is going to add a lot to this team in terms of his ability to catch the football out of the backfield, his ability to pass block on third down as well. And I think when you think about a team right now that's averaging 10 yards receiving per game from their backs, it's going to get better with Tate there. And he's also going to allow, I think, Kyle Shanahan to dig a little bit more into his bag of tricks, because the comfort that they will have that he is a professional pass protector, a veteran running back there in the backfield.
And it's just to piggyback your point too, as we talk about Ben Tate here, is I think Ben Tate being a seasoned veteran also too identifying, you know, a blitz, non-blitz situation on whether he's needed in pass protection, which allows him to get out into a route much sooner. Whereas a young, indecisive running back who haven't seen, a bunch of exotic different blitzes or rushes, or able to identify those pre-snap just because of simply a reps and immaturity in the system, that they might be a little bit more safe and protecting Brian Hoyer and staying in, as opposed to a guy like Ben Tate who would be more feasible of getting out into a route sooner, which would give Brian Hoyer those dump down opportunities.
Right, and that's something that you can use very, very well against blitzes. It sets up the screen game a little bit better. And also, as you said, the quick recognition to either stay in and block or get out in a route, give Brian Hoyer another outlet, will be good for this team, because now that they've shown they can stress some teams vertically at times, as they have with Travis Benjamin and Taylor Gabriel getting down the field and Jordan Cameron as well, it gives them an opportunity. Kind of you make the linebackers back up and you can get those 5-yard dump offs that can turn into 10, 15, 20 yard gains should somebody be able to make somebody miss like Ben Tate can out of the backfield. So he's a very good choice. Mine's going to be Jordan Cameron.
I knew it.
And I knew you knew it, and I think everybody knew it. And it's not that he hasn't done anything or been effective. It's that, you know, we want to see him out there healthy. He says that he is healthy now, which is good. But Jordan Cameron, through three games, he's only played in two of them, has just three catches for 70 yards. And this is a guy last year who had 80 grabs, 900 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's a big part of this offense. The Kyle Shanahan offense has long produced very successful tight ends. His father's offenses had very successful tight ends. So it's a big part of what the Browns are going to do. Jordan Cameron going against the Tennessee Titans team that last week gave up 6 catches, 71 yards, and 2 touchdowns to the Colts tight ends. In week one, they gave up 6 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown to the Chiefs tight ends. You can attack this team with your tight ends in the middle of the field. I believe that Jordan Cameron needs to kind of have that breakout game, and I believe this will be that game for him. I think it's great news that he feels healthy. It's a great matchup for him to come back in here, and he knows the ins and outs of the Ray Horton defense. He should have familiarity when running any of those option routes, knowing what he sees, and I think he's in line for a big game, and it will open everything else up for this team if he has one.
He definitely does, and I'm sure that he's disappointed with his injury. He's disappointed thus far with his production. And just again, life inside the player's head, he knows it's a contract year for him. He knows what's at stake based on his production. You know, the fact, can he piggyback two consecutive, I'll say 50 plus reception years, 800 plus, you know, and maybe I'll say 8 to 10 touchdown seasons back to back, which will get you paid as a top tier tight end in this football league. So he knows that. So the fact that, again, he has come out and said to you that I am healthy, that I'm chomping at the bit to go back, I have no limitations. You've got to love to hear that, because he has a lot to prove. And we both know, well, you know, when he's firing on all cylinders based on what Brian Hoyer and the other weapons he has, it'll be an amazing opportunity for him to go out and exploit this defense.
When you have an injury like the one that Jordan Cameron has and you're in a contract year, does it make you want to get out back on the field quicker, or does it make you want to rest so that you can be 100% healthy when you're back on the field?
It's a very good question. I think you want to prove yourself. You know, I think again, maybe towards the end of the season, if you were playing for and nothing was at stake, you might milk that injury out. You know, as opposed to going and being, you know, and really having be in the middle of a surgery or physical therapy to recover, and you're going to take less money. You absolutely will late in the season. But at this point in the season, he wants those 13 opportunities to be as healthy as he can and go produce and replicate what he did last year.
And that's what you want him to do. Everybody here wants him to do that, and I'm sure he does as well. It'll be great for his bank account. I know he had a great weekend getting out to California, seeing his son Tristan. So he's feeling good mentally, emotionally, physically, and I think this is the week that Jordan Cameron comes out and has that big-time game for the Browns against this Ray Horton defense. We told you we were going to take a look at the offense of this Tennessee Titans team, get you familiar with the players that they have on their roster. And we'll start with the skill position. We're starting with the quarterbacks and the running backs. Jake Locker, it is said that he is expected to practice with that wrist injury. Now, Dowell Loggins was his offensive coordinator last year in Tennessee, knows him very, very well. Locker was the 8th overall pick back in the 2011 draft. 7 starts last year due to a foot injury. Already missed a start this year. In fact, in his first 3 seasons, only 18 starts for him. But he has thrown for nearly 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 15 interceptions in those games. He got off to a fast start this year. That week 1 game against the Kansas City Chiefs, Jake Locker came out and looked like, oh man, all right, they're turning it around here. He looks very, very good. Threw for 266 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 22 of 33. Then 2 picks in each of his next 2 games, Dallas and Cincinnati, only 1 touchdown total in those games. So he's one of those guys that's been erratic. He seems to me a quarterback that if his primary read isn't open, can get a little bit flustered. Not the most accurate thrower of the football, as what he wasn't in college either, but a good athlete, underrated athlete, and a guy that the Browns, I think, should be able to confuse and bait into some turnover situations. He's not afraid to throw picks. And if you go back to the end of the 2013 season, you go back there, in his last 6 games, he's thrown 8 interceptions, only 5 touchdowns. The Browns need to capitalize on this.
Absolutely, and I don't necessarily think that we need to bait him into throws. I think that we have our DBs are superior to their skilled athletes, which means, and if we've truly taken a step in the right direction and fixed some of our defensive back problems, that our guys should beat their guys 9, you know, I'll say 7 times out of 10, which bodes extremely well for us. But the one thing where I think we can truly affect a guy like Jake Locker and again, speed up his clock against those subpar weapons is pressuring the quarterback. This is where I want to see, you know, the usage of Jabal Sheard and Paul Kruger overpowering running backs, tight ends, or tackles to get pressure, and maybe even some of those inside blitzes to get bodies at Jake Locker's feet, give him those happy feet, force a throw, and that's where we'll see an overthrow, a tip pass, or him trying to make a tight fit because he's trying to not take a sack. That's where I think the inexperience of a guy like Jake Locker really comes into play, and something that we as a Browns defense can capitalize on.
And the good news is the Titans have given up 11 sacks on the season. That's tied for the 3rd most in the NFL. So yes, get the pressure on him, force him into some bad throws. Now, if he ultimately is unable to go, Charlie Whitehurst would get the nod for the Tennessee Titans, and Whitehurst made his first start of the year last week against Indianapolis in a game that we know they got blasted pretty good. He was 12 of 23 for 177, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Zach Mettenberger also got a little garbage time there, and he threw a pick. So they've thrown 6 interceptions in 4 games. They've been sacked 11 times in 4 games. This defense that is looking for some stats and for some success has come to the right place. It is imperative that they get it done. But you know Charlie Whitehurst well from your days playing with him in San Diego. You called him check down. down Charlie there. I don't think he'll see the field. By the way, I thought his ponytail was egregious last week. I thought it was a horrific look for him.
It is.
And I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, I feel like somebody should just cut that ponytail off of the back of it. It didn't even look good. Like, some guys have hair coming out of the back of their helmets that looks, you know, good, or it looks like, okay, this guy's a gladiator. He's going in there. He's ready to do battle. Charlie Whitehurst's ponytail, if your eyes closed and all you saw was the ponytail, could easily have been on someone of the other gender.
You know what? Just to talk about the ponytail, I'll say this is the quarterback position on a football team is a position of leadership, you know, of respect. And I think that if I were playing for a football team with a quarterback like that, I would like ask to be traded or signed somewhere else, because I think it's laughable that someone can come to work every day and think that, hey, this is funny, ha ha ha, you know. And again, mind you, if his performance on the football field was blowing us away, there'd be ponytails growing, you know, aplenty in Tennessee.
It'd be the new fad.
You know, but it's not, you know, and he is a journeyman quarterback. I did spend time with him in San Diego. He is he's a decent athlete. He's afraid to make the big throw. He's afraid to force the ball because he's afraid to throw picks. And so what does he do? Again, we called him check down Charlie for a reason. He would pump it, and drop it to a back just to give himself a completion and make himself look good, because he's afraid to throw the ball down the field. And again, he is a guy, I think all three of these quarterbacks, regardless of who we see, this is a quarterback group that this defense should eat and eat well against.
Absolutely. They are hungry. They need to eat. Charlie Whitehurst, now 32 years old, been in the NFL for a long, long time. His first pass attempt
surprised
in the
league
back in 2006, and he's still in the league here 2014, many, many years later. 178 pass attempts for his NFL career, only 5.5 yards per attempt for his career, which speaks to the check down Charlie mold. So those are the quarterbacks of the team. Zach Mettenberger, the other one, he was drafted by them this season. Got a little bit of action out of LSU, coming off of a torn ACL, not ready. He got out there, threw a quick interception in limited action in 5 attempts in that game against the Colts. But Locker, the word is he will practice this week, and if he does, he should be the starter for this team. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for the Cleveland Browns in this game. Dow Loggins knows Locker better than any of the quarterbacks there in Tennessee, given the time that he spent with him as his offensive coordinator. So they should have a very good scouting report on the things that Locker likes to do and doesn't like to do there. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we will get into some of your calls and tweets, 216-578-0850. We'll get into the Titans running backs as well, but hopefully up next, we're still trying to source it, but we think we've got it. We will have Mike Pettine's press conference today, the Browns head coach addressing the media for the first time since the team returned from its bye week. That will be coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.